With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello and welcome to Happy Horror Time Podcast. My name is Matt Emmert.
And I'm Tim Murdoch. Our special guest today is the ultimate prom date. Horror fans know her as the actress who boldly played the free-spirited prom queen and vengeful spirit Mary Lou Maloney in Hello, Mary Lou, Prom Night 2. Please welcome to the podcast the fabulous Lisa Schrag.
Woo! Thank you so much. Wow, yes. What an intro. Thank you.
Yes, we do. We did the little custom-made intro for you. So how are you doing today?
I'm great. Thanks for inviting me.
Yes, of course.
Great to be here.
So, you know, taking it back to the very beginning, because we love like learning about some of the people we're interviewing even before these horror movies that made such an impact on our lives. You know, growing up in Canada, how did you first get your start in acting?
Well, I actually started with commercials when I was a kid. When I was about 13, I did a ton of TV commercials, and that was pretty much what was available in terms of acting work. By about the mid-80s, things started to take off here. And so there was more actual acting roles. And so that's how it all began for me.
Wow. Yeah. And then when you were younger, were you a fan of horror movies? Like, are there any ones that you remember having an impact on your life or just like sticking with you at a young age?
Horror movies. No, I like more like fantasy kind of movies, or I like ghosts. But I'm kind of, I don't know if horror would be the genre. I like more like ghosty kind of, you know, those types of movies. People coming back from the past or past lives, that kind of thing.
Oh, that's cool. So yeah. That's sort of horror, like Supernatural.
But did you like Ghost with Demi Moore?
Oh, I never saw that.
Whoa!
I like older movies.
So not so much a ghost coming back and like murdering people or being horrible, but just like a nice, friendly, like past yes. life type story.
Yeah, more in the romantic type. Yeah, not so much.
You would love Ghost. I highly recommend it.
Maybe I will get to see it.
I was just going to say, if you want the romance side of a ghost, Ghost is definitely the
Patrick
one for you.
Patrick Swayze, it's so good.
Yes, Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh, Oscar winner.
Yeah.
Okay, so moving into Prom Night 2, what was your audition process to get that crown?
Do you remember what scene you did or what they had you do for the audition?
Oh, gosh. You know, this was a few years ago, right? So, I always say what I always remember about auditions is more the before and after, because when you're doing an audition, you're so kind of like hyped up and so in it, it's almost like you just can't even breathe in that moment. And you're just like, oh, remember, you know, you remember the waiting room, or you remember other people, or you look at your competition. That's what I remember. I remember who was in the room before I went in. I don't remember anybody in the room. You kind of just like do your thing and you leave and you just hope for the best. I guess Bruce was in the room. He said, I did a good audition. he just told me that recently. So obviously I did. And I think when you're in it, you can't be processing. You're actually in it. You're not thinking about it, right? You're doing. And for me, that role was actually pretty easy.
Wait, so now I want to know about what was like the waiting room. Like, did people all know what they were reading for? Like, were people coming dressed as prom queens?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about auditions is that some people come dressed as, you know, as the role. Some don't. It depends on, you know, what it takes for you to get into the role. I do like to personally dress for the role. That's just my process in terms of, you know, getting into it. I don't know if I wore a prom dress. I don't think I had one in my closet at the time, but I got the winning the award thing. I get that, you know, that energy around that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and in the room, there was just other people that you always look at and you think, oh, I think she'd be really good at this. You know, you go always casting somebody else as it, right? So, yeah.
Did they ask you to read any other roles or just Mary Lou?
Just Mary Lou. I only read for Mary Lou. And to be honest with you, it would have been the only part I would have liked in the whole movie because that's the funnest part.
Yeah. Oh, had you before you saw, had you seen the original Prom Night with Jamie Lee Curtis? I mean, I know you're not
no.
the biggest fan of horror, but yeah. Okay. So you hadn't seen that.
No. I and do you know what? I didn't audition for Prom Night. Mm. I auditioned for The Haunting of Hamilton High.
Yes, we
it
read that.
It was only
that.
Called Prom Night later. I don't think not even while we were making the movie was it called Prom Night. We were auditioning for The Haunting of Hamilton High. So I had no idea there was the relationship to that previous movie, if there was or there wasn't. I thought it was just more of a marketing thing, firstly, right?
It yeah. worked.
Yeah. Well, so yeah. you thought, so when you first read the script, it was just like a prom girl that's haunting people, kind of horror flick like that, right?
Yeah. 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 Oh. Girl. Yeah. There was wow. nothing to. Yeah. So the prom part wasn't really the focus. It wasn't called Prom Night, right? It was
yeah.
about this high school that gets haunted by a girl who's been been betrayed. Right. So she comes back to get what was hers. Right.
Yeah. So, what was your first impression of the overall script when you read it? Like, were you like, oh, wow, I'm playing this really vengeful spirit? Or like, were you like, oh, my God, this is awesome. Playing such a headstrong, like fearless character. What was your impression?
Totally. Yeah. You know, accidents happen. Right. And she was just coming back to get what was hers. So, I'd never ever think of her as evil. That wasn't her intention at all. She was maybe assertive, a go-getter, independent. Yeah. And in terms of the script, I thought the script was really funny. Like, I thought there's
so
lot of,
funny. And I think
a lot of humor.
I've said this to Matt many times, but like it is, I remember I was, ironically enough, another Patrick Swayze movie. I was coming out of Dirty Dancing and there was this huge poster for the Hello Mary Lou Prom Night 2. And I was like, I have got to see this. Like, there's such a combination of so many films. It's like John Hughes, there's the high school aspect. There's like a sex comedy going on. And there's Carrie, of course, the whole prom. I mean, yeah. I just think I watch it every year. I think it's so good. Obviously, I dressed up like it for Halloween.
Yes. And for all our listeners, we did post a picture right around Halloween, I think. But Tim dressed up as our special guest today in Prom Night 2, Hello Mary Lou, and dressed up as Mary Lou.
Yeah, and I played it straight. I mean, like, I didn't play it when you were half burned, or you know, I played it when you were gorgeous.
Fabulous. You look gorgeous.
Yeah,
I really love what you. And I'm honored that you love her that much. That you want to dress up as her. So you look great. I thought it was a fantastic costume. So good for you.
And she wouldn't. And she would know best. So getting a compliment from the person herself.
I don't know how you're. Your dress, how did you get that dress?
You know what's crazy? I looked at like 1,000 on Amazon and the cheapest one that was like $19.95, it would look the best. It was just like, you know what I mean? Like there's so many that were so much more expensive, but they weren't great. So I was like, I think this is the one that's the best. So Amazon.
That was great. Yeah. A good find. Yeah.
I was going to say, I really like the way you describe the character because you're right. Truthfully, when you think about like, if you want to call people evil, I'm pretty sure like the jealous boyfriend who drops the firecracker on you at the beginning is pretty evil because,
yeah.
you know, or the people that don't do anything to help you. But speaking of that, because the opening is so strong, I mean, we have lots of favorite scenes, but the opening is so strong, but it's also looked like it could have been very dangerous for you. We were wondering like, how did you film that big fiery death scene and how close did you get to all that fire?
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. Of course, it was a stunt double. It wasn't me, right, doing that stunt. So she did an amazing job. I watched it. It's pretty darn scary. They lit her on fire, but they did a wonderful job. She had the whole suit and put the fire out, but she's wearing a suit, right?
Yeah.
Her whole body is covered in some protective suit. And yeah, it was a very good stunt. I'm sorry I don't know her name. So kudos to her. She was great who did that. So you'll see some moments where it's like her face and then you'll see it's my face. I just like put some fire in front of my face. So the close-ups are of course my face, but some of those shots you see, I always correct people, say that's not me. That's the stunt woman is doing that. So good for her. And I want to go back to your thing about the script, because I wanted to also give great credit to Ron Oliver. I don't know if you know Ron Oliver.
He just wrote the Kyle Richards Christmas movie. Yes.
Yeah.
He's very, very fun. He wrote that script, right? He wrote the Haunting of Hamilton High script. And he's very funny. Like he kept us all entertained on set because he's a very funny person. So I think it's him. It's the script really is what carries that movie along. It's funny, right? It doesn't take itself so seriously. So and I think that's...
He has cameos in the film, right? Yeah, I was going to ask you, right?
He's got a cameo in it, right?
Doesn't he?
Does he have like one line in it?
I think we either read or saw him and recognized him.
Did he have long blonde hair?
Yes.
He had blonde hair. I don't think he has hair anymore. Right. I haven't seen him in a while. But yeah, he was like very cute. With blonde hair and I think he's in it. And that is his phone number. Like
at the beginning.
Number that she writes on the confessional.
Yes.
That's his phone number.
Wait, but since it was the 80s, like that was his like landline phone number, I take
it. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, wow.
You can imagine cell phones. No, we have cell phones.
Yeah,
already.
Yeah. But I mean what I mean is that's like risky to give your home phone.
I know,
number.
But I think that's the joke. As far as I know, that's his number. I mean, you can maybe get him on the show and ask him.
No, I think you're right. I feel like we
I think
were
you should get him on the show.
Yeah.
I think he'd be a good guest.
No, it is really funny. And, you know, and speaking, going back really quickly, just to the fiery death scene, the reason why we were asking about that is because it does look like you do see your face in so many scenes. So they did a good job because, again, obviously we knew they probably didn't light you on fire, but like there's so many scenes of your face mixed in that I was like, she had to be there or something
like,
close.
You're looking up at him and like there's fire. It looks like right here even.
Yeah. So. I think there was a big flame in front of me that they around me, like for the close-ups, but I watched her like that whole scene. She was on the stage and they did that whole scene with her lit up and running off and all of that jazz.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was
pretty amazing. Right.
It is so amazing. I mean,
Stunt people, you know, like they deserve so much more. I feel like credit than they get in certain aspects because like some of these really memorable scenes, like we remember them, but then we can't remember like their names, but it's like, I can't even imagine the courage it takes to do things like that.
And it's not it's not like she's in like a, like Michael Myers suit. She's wearing a prom dress, like shoulders exposed. Like it's not easy.
She had a whole like second skin on, right? A protective layer. I mean, I don't know the logistics. I just know that she did an amazing job. So good for her.
And, you know, we were talking about the screenwriter, and I feel like this will, help answer this next question, because we were wondering, well, first, what director Bruce Pittman was like to work with and what just like the vibe was like on set. Was it very like jovial and lighthearted? Was it very serious and like, let's get to it kind of thing?
Well, as I remember, Ron kept it light. Bruce is a really great director, so he kept it moving very well. I think he did a really good job, and I think the fact that we're still talking about this movie is credit to his work as a director. He shot like 98% of it. There was some reshooting of the ending later. Mm-hmm. So so he didn't do a couple of scenes that showed up a little later that they changed the ending. But yeah, I think the overall atmosphere was good. It was in Edmonton. It was in a high school. So we used the whole high school in the summer. And it was a nice young group of people, a lot of people with their, beginnings, their first movies. So we were all pretty young.
Obviously, you're in the 50s scenes, but like you possess Vicky, who's in the 80s. But so I was just curious, like, you know, there's Wendy Lyon, there's Vicky, Louis Vieira, Greg, Michael Ironside, the adult Bill, and then there's Terry Hawks, Kelly the bitch. Like, were you friends with all of them?
Yeah, did you get to bond, a chance to bond with them? Because I know,
Yeah, I didn't do that. I wasn't there for that much of it, right? I just show up occasionally. So some of them, I mean, Michael Ironside, he was the big name in the movie, right? So I got to know him a little bit, and Justin, of course, who is now Louis. And the girls, I not so much. They were more together. They were like their own group. And then I had my, right, it's a totally different part of the movie, right? The 50s part of the movie were quite different. So it was like their movie and my movie. It was like two different parts, right? And yeah, it was a good atmosphere overall.
Did you enjoy kind of going back in time and doing that, like, 50, like, meaning if you would have given a chance to be like an 80s prom queen versus 50s, would you have preferred doing that more of like the 50s style and just being in that different style?
No question. I love period stuff. So that for me is so fun. Yeah, I just love anything to do with another time. This is one of the beauties of being an actor, is that you get to be in another time. Like, we don't get to do that. You get to dress up and pretend you're in another time. And I love that. Loved it, I think.
And yeah. The way you speak, you say, see you later, alligator. It's not who you come with, it's who takes you home. Cracking up. Like, do you have a favorite line? Your movie, all your lines are so quotable and I love them. Do you have a favorite?
Well, I like see you later, alligator, right? And I think I always use that line. I feel like I don't know, maybe after that, I always use that line, right? I love all that. I like those sort of, I don't know what you call it, a bit kitsch.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
A bit over the top, and she knows it.
Yeah,
right?
That's the
it's
thing.
Not like she doesn't know it. Mm-hmm. She does it like for fun, right? It's like,
Graham.
You know what I mean? Yeah,
it is Graham, really funny. Right? Like, she is so self-confident and assertive, and that's why it's like these lines, like, it's very much like taking no shit from anybody else. Mm-hmm. Knows that, like, when she enters a room, she rules like the crowd. You know?
Totally. Yeah. So that's why I think that she's more of an assertive, maybe ahead of her time kind of gal, and no guy's going to get in her way.
Exactly.
Right. And she can switch dates. Like, why not? That guy was so boring. Right. He was so boring. Why would you just dump him? Right. Move on.
I love that.
Did they let you ad lib any lines, or like, or was it like strictly to the script?
If you count them, I didn't think I even had that many lines.
But they're right? All memorable.
I know.
It was
that's
all
thing.
About like the looks, right? All the, you know, all the wave, the looks, right?
Like when you saunter away from young Michael Ironside.
Yeah.
It's so like.
Who's not playing?
I know.
That's funny. You said young Michael.
You know, young isn't Michael. Like,
isn't his name Billy?
Young Bill.
But Billy. The Billy, the cute one, right? Billy.
The cute one, yes.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I love it. If you don't like your date, why not? And also, it's high school. Like, who's committed?
It's high school, right? Exactly.
No one's getting married.
You know, wanted to ask, since there is like kind of two movies within one, do you have a favorite scene from your portion and then a favorite scene maybe from the movie that you weren't in?
Oh, so the movie that I was in. Oh, you mean, okay, I get it. So they mean the 50s part?
Versus the
80s, I like it when it always like goes, you know, it goes like back in time, like, you know, when the trunk closes and it goes back to the prom and you see the sparkly kind of things on the ceiling and the music and she's dancing and then she gets the crown, right? That's my favorite moment. And especially the lighting's so nice. So that white light comes over her and then she gets, you know, gets the crown. That is, to me, that's the moment. Like, you know, if life could just be like that and time just could change, like if events could change suddenly and things turn out a different way, right? Yeah. That's what I think is kind of cool.
It's so dreamy and noir.
Dreamy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anything from the 80s parts or like the parts with the other characters in that's memorable to you? And again,
well,
I know it's been a long
some
time.
Are very funny. You know, the part with like Vicky's family at the table. And how over the top that family is and how uptight and the mother. It's a, ooh, right? I don't know. I remember that so well, that yucky family at the table.
Yeah.
And then Vicky going through that transformation where she gets really raunchy and all of that stuff.
When she kisses her dad.
I was just going to say, my personal favorite scene is when Vicky literally makes out with her dad and her dad does not push her away.
It is so shocking. There's so many scenes like that you're just like, oh.
The horse?
The horse with the tongue.
Yeah, what's
the horse with the tongue, totally, yeah. That was well done, wasn't it?
Yes.
Chris did a great job. Yeah.
I mean, really truthfully, well, it's very, like Tim was saying, what's so cool about
it's
this movie.
So there's many genres.
Yeah. And there's also, it feels like Nightmare on Elm Street meets Carrie meets, like Tim was saying, like, because the tongue thing almost reminded me of the tongue, like, I'm your boyfriend now, Nancy. It's just so many things. And people like us who are like nerdy horror fans that notice these things, it means something, you know?
Yeah, exactly. For people in the know, like you guys, like, I didn't know, but I know it's funny. I know a lot of it's tongue in cheek, but I don't know horror films. But people who are aficionados of horror films, you catch it all. Like, you get all the nuances and all the references, right, to everything. Yeah. So that's I think that's what laughs about the movie. Is that
it landed in my life. I think I was like 11 years old. So I think at that age at 11, because now I'm 44. Anything that at
you
that
are?
I'm 44. So like anything that that
look
age,
a day over 43.
You know what, Mary Lou? I mean, he's been
looking, especially with that prom dress on.
I'm just
am
kidding.
I right,
you
Lisa?
Look like a kid.
With the prom dress on, Tim, you don't look a day over 43.
Well, I mean, like anything.
You'll always look better than her. Yes. I'm just kidding. I know it was a long time ago, but you remember it.
Yeah, like right? It's something that hits at that age in your life will stick with you for such a long time. And I also listened to another podcast. I wanted to know if you heard about this. There's a podcast called How Did This Get Made? And they were doing your, do you know what I'm talking about?
Somebody sent it to me. Somebody, yes, I heard it. I can't remember. Some celebrities on it.
Yes, Charlize, Oscar winner, Charlize Theron and Seth Rogen are talking about Hello, Mary Lou, Prom Night 2. They're literally breaking it down like the entire movie, and everyone loved it. Everyone praised it. And Seth Rogen said he knew you. Like, did he mean like he knew you personally or in the movie, in the TV show Tropical Heat?
I don't know. I don't know if I've ever met him.
Oh, okay. So it must be from the show.
Oh, I think we're both from Toronto.
Toronto? Yeah, because he was kind of
maybe we grew up together.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe I met him before. I don't know. We're both from Toronto. So I don't know if I've ever met him, but I thought it was kind of interesting that they were analyzing that movie in such depth. Like, who would have thought, right?
Yeah. And it was, I loved it. I was like, because, you know, Mary Lou Prom Night 2, you know, it's how many years ago?
34.
Yeah.
I think so, it's like 86 or something like that. What
87?
Year is it? 85?
So, yeah.
Something in, yeah.
In the between. Some of them were in the mid to late 80s. Yeah, we all agree.
Like the way they were breaking it down, I was in heaven listening to this podcast.
It's like a thesis.
I was like, I'm loving that they're praising it. I'm loving it that they're loving it as much as I'm loving it.
And the thing is, Lisa, on this podcast, you know, it's not always like saying great things about things. I mean, the podcast is called How Did This Get Made? So the fact that they literally were loving it and praising it, like these are, you know, like it's
usually
really cool.
Usually they rip movies apart, but this one, they were praising and they were loving it. And like Charlize Theron wanted to give her Oscar to one of the actresses because of her performance.
Oh yeah, I heard that. That was funny.
That girl
did do a really good part. The girl, what was her name? Jess, maybe? Was that the character's name?
Yeah,
who was pregnant.
Yeah, she had the pregnancy.
She had a really nice scene. She had a really lovely scene. Yeah. So there was some moments in there, right? Some serious moments.
There was. And that's another thing. Like, there's so much going on in this movie that, like, to even have that storyline in there is...
Right after she finds out she's pregnant, she gets murdered.
Right. Well,
I know. Well, things happen, Matt, you know, things happen.
Look, but Lisa, I mean, Mary Lou is just, you know, she
doesn't want her crown messed up.
Yes. She look, I mean, people messing with her crown and they need to stay away.
Well, I think those people were just kind of en route to get to, right, to the guy, to the principal, the Michael Ironside's character, Billy. Right. So,
and he deserved it. I mean, he got away with at least manslaughter.
That's called murder.
Well, I mean, I think he wanted to just shot. I love that. Now we're analyzing it. I think he wanted to just like humiliate her. But, you know, there is something called manslaughter where if you cause someone's death, you're supposed to be put in jail. So he escaped it. So he got what he deserved.
Yeah, he was kind of creepy, but he plays that really well. Right.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Michael Ironside. And then Richard Manette as the priest.
Yes.
He did a great job. He's, totally. You know, Richard Manette's quite, well, he's gone now. He rest in peace, but he was the head of Stratford. He's a very established actor. He's a very strong actor. So I think he had a lot of fun playing that priest too.
By the way, as a young Jewish kid watching this movie and seeing your opening scene in the confessional, I was like, it made me want to do confession because it looked fun.
I know, it did look fun. I'm Jewish too, so I've never been to confession either.
Oh, no.
So, yeah.
Okay, so you're like, yeah, now if confession's like that and people are talking that way.
I mean, I go to church like once every 5 years.
Once.
I was going to ask you, like, obviously I'm wearing the movie t-shirt, the movie poster t-shirt. So do you have the movie poster up or like,
and was that like a separate shoot?
I have that poster. Yes, I have that poster. Sorry, ask me again.
I was just saying, because was it like a separate shoot that they had to do for the poster? Did they just use like, because it looks like it's just a pose that's not in the movie.
No, I think that was from a photograph, right? There is a photograph of me. That's what they used originally, was the photograph. And then I later saw the graphic, like the drawing, right? So there was a photograph of that for sure. I mean, there's always a set photographer, right? So I think they just used the photograph.
I have never seen it. I'd love to.
Yeah, that's why we didn't know if it was like a separate.
Like, did you have to pose for it? Or...
I used to have stuff around. I don't know where I have them now. I just moved. But yeah, photographs and that. And then there was a mask. There was all kinds of fun stuff. They didn't do, unfortunately, little toys or anything. That would
I cool. know.
But yeah. But,
soon.
Yeah. Well, you never know. I mean, so in the big finale after Vicky gets shot and you literally come out of her body, was that actually you in like you? At the time, like during that transformation, what was the whole makeup process like for that whole transformation scene?
I remember this now. When we first were cast, we went to it wasn't even a rehearsal. We went and tried on makeup, and whatever they tried on me was like, luckily I was young, because was like stuck to my face. I'm literally the first stuff they did was really horrible. I guess they were just using us as guinea pigs. But yeah, so I remember that they changed it, you know, obviously they improved it by the time we actually got to set. But yeah, the first tests were not fun. So we spent a lot of time in hair and makeup, and the hair and makeup for that was very good, as well as the costume, as you can see. And I was stuck in that costume. They wouldn't even let me out. Like, I had to stay in sometimes and not go to lunch because I was like sewn into that dress. But
oh my God.
You all know, for the art.
And then we were talking about the whole, like, how when you first auditioned and were filming it, it was called The Haunting of Hamilton High, and then it was retitled. Do you know if it was retitled after you guys were all done shooting? And then you had said that there were kind of reshoots. Do you remember what the reshoots were or the scenes that were added?
Yeah. Yeah, so it was definitely titled after. I think even like the premiere was The Haunting of Hamilton High. Like, I think it was stated as Haunting of Hamilton High for a long time. And then for some reason, suddenly it switched, and it was to my surprise as well. It was originally shot in Edmonton. And then the reshoots were in Toronto, where I lived at the time. And it was, they redid the ending, right? So she gets the crown. I think they redid that scene where he turns in the car, Michael Ironside, and says, you know, he's sort of setting it up for the following movies, right? So I think they realized they were going to do more movies, so they added that in, right? So they could do sequels, I believe. Yeah. So, but yeah, that's what I remember is the reshoot. I think that moment that I talked about with the white light was shot in Toronto.
Oh, wow.
I love that scene.
I mean, it's kind of cool that changing the title added your character's title into the title. So that's kind of cool. That must have been nice.
I know. You're right about that. Yeah. It was all surprising to me. To be honest with you, I wasn't really in the loop of anything. By the time everything gets done, the rest of us have moved on and we're doing we're just trying to make it as actors, right? We don't know what's going to happen to that movie. Was there even videos? I think videos were just starting at the time, right? Yeah. Videos were just new. So there wasn't that kind of distribution or even social media where people are talking about things. You kind of lived with a lot more unknowns. You just didn't know, right? So years later, when people would contact me, I'd be like, really? How did you find me? And they would write me letters, right? And I'm like, what do you like about that movie? They're like, oh, it meant so much for me when I was like you, like 11 or 12, meant a lot to me. I'm like, really? So it's only more recently with social media, with the podcast, with the horror conventions that I'm aware that it's a popular movie still. Like, yeah. It's a surprise to me too.
Did you get to keep anything from set? I was going to ask the crown.
I would love to have kept anything. No, I didn't keep anything. Nobody offered me anything.
They didn't give you a crown?
That's even the dress that they forced you to stay in for so long.
No, maybe they used it for the next movie. I don't know. They didn't keep in touch. I'll tell you that much. They didn't keep in touch.
That's so weird. Like, I mean, well, I mean, that's what we were wondering, because, you know, the character of Mary Lou Maloney is also featured in Prom Night 3, which came out 3 years later, but it's played by a different actress. What did they just decide to go in a different direction, or were you ever approached about the sequel, or how did that happen?
No, never asked me. I didn't even really know about it. Like, nobody ever called my agent or called me or not. No contact. I did see the producer once in the Jewish Community Center locker room. I saw her. She was there. She never said anything to me. So,
really?
Yeah. No, it was never. I didn't know about it. I mean, I had moved on, right? That was my first big gig. So I was doing other things at that time. So it really wasn't on my radar. So I wasn't.
So I guess it's safe to say you didn't see Hello Mary Lou, Prom Night 3, The Last Kiss, or
I never saw anything. I mean, I think I'm like, whatever, you know, whatever. You don't have any control of anything. These
things. Well, in my eyes, is the best one.
I think it's just so disappointing that they did. Like, I mean, continuity for horror fans is really important. I know it sounds kind of funny because horror is such like a crazy genre, but characters that we like in movies, we want to see in the sequels. And I feel like they're starting to realize that. And by there, it's like producers now, as we, you know, in the last few years, as they're rebooting like the Halloween series and bringing Jamie Lee Curtis back, or like The Exorcist.
Oh,
and all this stuff, but it just is crazy. Do you think, and of course, this is putting you in a hypothetical like 1989 mind frame, but do you think at the time, if they were like, Lisa, we want to do another prom night, you would have been like, nah, I'm over that? Or would you think you would have been like, sure?
Good question. I think I would have been okay with it because I really like Mary Lou.
Yeah.
Like, I personally like playing her. I like her a lot. So, and I think I could have honestly done a good job at it, like,
oh,
you know,
we agree.
And so, totally. You know, so I think I would have been good with doing you know, a few of Mary Lou and seeing her move on, see what antics she gets up to, right? So I don't know, whatever, they're lost.
Was there two premieres? There was one for the Hamilton High and then one for Hello Mary Lou Prom Night 2, or like, how did, like, did
I think it was just for Hamilton High.
It was just
Hamilton High. Yeah, I don't know. That was a good question. You could dig that up somewhere. I don't know when it changed to the other name. Bruce wasn't in the loop either. He knows as little as I know, because I saw him recently after all these years. We were at a horror convention together and we got to kind of chat about it. We did a little talk with people and I learned a lot about it that I didn't know, because I didn't know. And yeah, he was kind of left out of the whole loop. We were both, I don't know, I guess they didn't think we were important. So
that's crazy to me, like the director and the star.
Wait,
I'm also sure,
I don't even know what that means. I think because I didn't know. So wait, when you say there's a premiere, so you guys went to a premiere when it was called The Haunting of Hamilton High?
Yeah, like when the movie came out, The Haunting of Hamilton High. And then I don't know when it changed. I'm not really sure.
And then they changed it to the reshoots and then re-put it. That's so weird.
I don't know. I don't know like the sequence of events. Somebody knows.
Yeah.
Maybe Ron Oliver, if you get him on the show, you might get your facts straight. So he'd be fun to have on. I think he'd be funny.
Definitely.
I mean, I've seen articles with him and seen interviews. He seems like totally fun.
Yeah, I think he is really. I mean, I haven't seen him in years, but he was very. Yeah, he's a funny guy. So I think he wouldn't have lost his sense of humor. So so he might know what happened.
Yeah.
They have revival screenings all around Los Angeles. And like Hello Mary Lou Prom Night 2 is always on the calendar. And I've seen it like 5 times on the big screen and it always sells out. It's such a crowd pleasing movie. Yeah. It's really fun.
That's interesting.
When was the last time you saw it, just out of curiosity?
I saw it fairly recently. What was I doing? I did do that horror convention just before COVID, and I might have watched it then, just before COVID, just to kind of catch myself up in case people asked me things that I had to remember. So I think that's the last time I saw it. I have it still on VHS. probably have it.
Ooh, that's a hot item.
I know that is a hot item.
Hang on to that.
I was gonna
really give it to me, whatever you want to do.
Have your kids seen the movie?
You know, it's funny. My kids are almost your age. I mean, my kids are grown up. And I remember my son, my kids love horror as well. And my older son, I remember he first started going out with somebody. They rented a bunch of movies, horror movies. And then he said, oh, by the way, that's my mom. Right. So right. Cause they like, you know, that's impressive. Yeah. So yeah, they've seen it and they love horror. Well.
I would say, I have to say, if I were like, say, like a teenager and my mom was Mary Lou in that part in that movie, I would be bragging about
it. Oh my God.
I
love
that so funny.
I would never stop talking about
it. Because it's just such a, and you know, like, because she's such a rebellious character, and most teenagers, you know, love rebellious characters, like, especially if your parental figure was playing that, I'd be like, well, Mary Lou did that.
That's so funny. Yeah. I know. They, I don't know, you know, when it's your mom, you know, yeah. Still your mom, right? So yeah. Yeah, but I thought it was sort of cute that they rented the movie. Somebody gave me the movie. Maybe he bought me the movie as well. Oh, so I think I have it in DVD as well.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, switching gears a little bit, Matt and I watched your episode of the Twilight Zone TV series called The Trunk.
Oh, yeah.
And you played a role of Candy, and you worked with Bud Cort, and he also did like a psycho TV movie with Jason Bateman. Did you see that?
I was super stoked to work with him because he was in one of my favorite movies called Harold and Maude.
Oh yes,
you know, Harold and Maude. I love that movie so much. I saw it so many times, and it was about this young guy, kind of a lost young guy, and one of my favorite actresses, Ruth Gordon, played this older lady, and they were both in love with funerals, and they met up at funerals, and they went to all these funerals, people they don't know, right? Yeah. And yeah, so I got to work with Bud Cort, which was really neat. And it was another fun character. Did you see her, Candy?
Yes, Candy in your dress. Oh my gosh, yeah, another fun dress.
Yeah, that was fun. That was a good character. I liked her a lot. And I do remember that one very well. Yeah.
Any memories from work? I mean, it's a fun episode, and it's Twilight Zone, which is like, you know, it's, I want to say like horror royalty, but it's like sci-fi.
I thought it was really good.
I know. And that's when it first came back, right? It's come back. Twilight Zone's made several comebacks, right? But I think that was the first time since the original, the one in the 80s. And that was, I thought it was a really fun episode. And she also was a very dynamic, assertive woman, trying to get what she wants.
Exactly. Yeah. No, it's a fun character. We were able to find it and we watched it, and it was a lot of fun. Like,
it's totally fun.
We've always been fans of Twilight Zone. It's just such a variety of like everything. Like, it's, you know, like, talk about every genre between sci-fi and horror and just every stuff. So it's a lot of fun. And you're right, it has, but it's been revived multiple times. And I think, didn't Jordan Peele do a recent revival of it just like a couple years, like, or maybe last year?
Oh, it was on CBS streaming.
Yeah. So, you know, you
know, my husband might have directed some Twilight Zones.
Really?
So he came back several times. I can't remember if he did. Yeah, he is director. So he might have directed some episodes of The Twilight Zone as well. I love The Twilight Zone.
Oh, my God.
That's what I mean by the kind of, I don't like super scary, but I like that kind of genre, right?
Yeah, like that creepy. Kind of like
the mystery, right? Of like, you just don't know, right?
Yeah, and we also saw that you did an episode of Alfred Hitchcock Presents, the TV series called If Looks Could Kill. Now, we weren't able to find this one, but the plot sounded pretty intriguing. It was like a woman tries to win a guy over by having plastic surgery to look like his past love. Do you remember anything about this episode, and what character did you play in it?
Yeah, so the woman was played by Michelle Phillips of the Mamas and Papas.
Yeah.
And I was her assistant, but again, a kind of manipulative person. It was all these twists. In the end, I kind of convinced her to do what she was going to do to her own demise. And then I ran away with her husband. Like, it was the whole.
Such a Mary Lou move.
That is such a Mary Lou move.
I know, but they were all kind of similar, right? I know.
And
they
you're
all
so
had a,
sweet.
I know.
I know, but I think those kind of characters are so much fun, right? Yeah. And in the end, I always say, like, I've been in a couple like horror-ish kind of movies, but I never die. So if that, you know, I got lucky that I always played somebody that sort of walked away at the end. Hell, you know, so yeah. I've never died. So that was fun.
I also watched an interesting film you did in 1989 called Nah, Food for the Gods, Part 2. And where giant man-eating rats wreak havoc.
Yes. I hope that that would have disappeared somewhere. Thank you for digging that up. I know. Do I have any memories? I have memories of saying, please fire me. Please fire me. I just want to go home. I ended up going like underground. Now they were clean. They were brand new sewers. To like shoot underground, and I'm claustrophobic in sewers.
Oh.
So yeah.
Mm-hmm. My one question is I love that there was a huge crowd for synchronized swimming.
Yes. And the rats. Yes. And the rats attack like all the swimmers at the end.
I was like, when did that become a huge event?
I know. Well, synchronized swimmer.
That's very funny.
Swimming. And
I've never seen that movie. Okay. I've never watched it. I just hoped it wouldn't go away somewhere.
Wow. But, you know. Well, I don't know how much you're missing, but it's a lot of fun. The ending scene.
The ending is awesome.
It's hilarious. Like huge rats come running around a synchronized swimming
it's
event.
So it gross. Is. I know. And rats, I hate rats so much. So I don't know everything about it.
Did you have to get near any rats?
I think I did. I don't know. You know what? That movie probably PETA would totally ban that movie today. Right? The rats in cages and everything like that. Right?
It's
right?
Not so. Politically correct.
So I'm not feeling. I'm not feeling that you're going to be up for Food of the Gods Part 3 then.
No. That was like, no.
But I will say this, your co-star was cute.
No.
No, he wasn't? Okay.
The rats? Or the,
no, not the, no, not the rat co-star.
The guy. The guy.
Look,
it wasn't a fond experience, really.
I will say it is not the weirdest film I've seen. So it is not, like, by far not the weirdest film that I've seen.
No, but close. A close second.
Right? Close maybe third or fourth.
No, did you live in this one? I'm trying to remember.
I did,
but it was a boring part, right? It was like a scientist. Right. She didn't wreak havoc on anybody. She didn't stir things up. She didn't have a lot of fun.
Well, with the rats, you know.
Well, yeah. I know.
Rodents and tunnels. Yuck.
Oh, yeah, I know. Well, as we kind of start to wrap up, you were talking about horror conventions and that you've attended many, or have you attended many? And what's the most common thing you get asked?
Just one?
Yeah. I just went to one. And it was great. Somebody had to kind of convince me to go because it was great. It wouldn't have been something I ever would have thought I would do. And somebody said, oh, you'll have a lot of fun. And I actually did. And the people were great. And everybody came to my table was so sweet and kind, and the people running it. So I loved it. It was small. It wasn't like a big venue. It was just the right size for
me. Monsterpalooza.
No, it wasn't that. It was a Horrorama. I think it was called Horrorama. Yeah, it was really fun.
Well, as I can tell you, as horror fans, we hope that you will do another convention at some time because that's the thing. We've talked to a lot of different horror stars, and a lot of people had kind of mixed feelings about conventions before they went to one and then realized how much fun and just how much these fans adore the people in these movies. And if you are up for going to another one, I'm sure
Matt
there'll be
and I
tons
would run
of
over
people
your, that run over to your table.
Oh, you're sweet. Well, all the people that came, and it was mostly men, were guys, males, right? They were really lovely. You know, it wasn't. It was a big surprise to me how sweet everybody was. And like I said, I'd go again if it was when things all come back to normal in some way.
What do you remember? Like, what was the most common thing people were asking you about the movie?
Oh, good question. What were people asking me? Well, to be honest with you, a lot of the people that came were quite shy.
Oh.
So I mostly asked them, what do you do? And, I do this. I'm like, that's fantastic, right? So I think that I prefer to, engage with people that I'm not, how do I say this? It should be about them, right? They're coming to my table. So I'm interested in what they their experience is. What do you like about the movie? Who are you? Right. Mm-hmm. So I try to shift the focus away from me, right, towards them. And that makes it a better experience for both of us, I think, that I want to know who are these people that come? Like, I'm curious. Like,
that's really nice. Yeah, I don't think
I've ever heard that answer.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say, I think a lot of people are very comfortable just talking about themselves.
Oh, no.
Talk about me.
Yeah.
More about me. No, I knew, I can tell you what a lot of them did or what they did for a job and stuff like that. Like, I want to, you have an opportunity to meet people that you've never met before. It's an opportunity to get to know somebody completely different from your circle, somebody outside your That's regular really cool. sphere, right?
So was the first time you rekindled with people from Prom Night 2, was at this horror convention?
Yeah, that was a horror convention. It kind of went like this. Somebody asked me for an interview, and then it kind of led to them like, would you do a horror convention? I'm like, oh, I don't know. And they're like, yeah, it'd be really fun. Go ahead. And then he connected me to the person, Chris Alexander, who ran the convention. He was really nice. He even flew me there, and I have family there, so it all worked out.
Oh, wow.
And I had a really nice weekend, and it was a snowstorm. But aside from that, I engaged with people, like I said, that were not in my sphere at all, very outside. And that was a nice experience for me.
Had you kept in touch with anybody from Prom Night 2 up until then? Like the director, writer, any cast members or crew members? Had you been in touch over social media?
The composer?
He was there, actually, the composer.
I love that score.
Yeah, it's very good. He was there, too, at a table, but we just briefly said hello. He's, like, composed for a billion movies. He's a ton, right? The only person that I've seen, like, occasionally over the years is Louis Ferrer, Justin Lewis. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I've seen him. He's gone on to all kinds of, you've probably seen all kinds of.
Oh, yeah. He did.
Good work.
What was the one about the Living Dead?
Return of the Living Dead?
No, it was the one.
Dawn of the Dead.
Dawn of the Dead. Yes.
I don't know what he's done, but in case I've seen him, he was the only one I really maintained a friendship with. After that, I didn't really get to know the other people that I can't remember anybody. No. Yeah.
And
I don't know where they are. Somewhere in the world.
Well, it's funny how many people say, like, because of social media, that's how they've caught up with so many people from these movies back in like the 80s or even the 90s. Finding people or conventions. I feel like conventions is just like made for these reunions. We were just wondering, like, what are you up to today? And then randomly, would you ever consider making another horror movie?
Well, I stopped acting. A long time ago, about 30 years ago. So would I do it again? I'd do Mary Lou again if somebody asked me to do Mary
That's
Lou,
awesome.
her mother or her aunt or grandmother or something. And I teach movement and yoga and teach people to feel really good in their bodies. And it's been a long time that I've been doing that, and I really love it.
That is so needed.
I should take your class because I've never been able to touch my feet. Like, I'm
you
not
don't
joking.
Have to touch your feet. You know, you just do move yourself in all kinds of directions. Move yourself up, down, forward. Just keep moving. That's it.
No,
just
that's,
keep moving in interesting ways. Do you want to keep well, right? Just move.
I can imagine how necessary and how important something like that was, especially during the pandemic when people were stuck or in their homes and not being able to do much, like how important that was. Were you able to teach over Zoom and things like that?
Yeah. So now all my classes are on Zoom.
I used to have a studio
that had people coming into the studio and I pivot, we're tired of the world, but I pivoted really fast. Yeah. And like within a couple of days, as soon as the pandemic, I just got it. I'd heard about Zoom. Like, I'm going to get on Zoom, and that was it. And everybody shifted so quickly. Yeah. People were amazing how they could shift. Even people who weren't very techie, I held a lot of people's hands as we figured our way. Right? Don't worry, I can get you on Zoom. Like, we'll figure this out. And and they got on Zoom, and here we are, the different
That's
worlds,
great.
Right? So, yeah, it's and like this, right? Like, I don't know. You know, if you did this before the pandemic, if you had met with people on Zoom before, if you used it, everybody's using it now.
We kind of just relaunched the podcast and got serious about it just about a year ago. So it was during the pandemic. So all of our interviews we've done over Zoom, and we actually love it because number one, it doesn't ask too much of the people. You know, you can be in your comfort of your home.
You don't have to drive to the bathroom.
Right, you don't know that I'm wearing a bathing suit or something.
Exactly.
Right?
I don't have pants on. So. No, but it is just like, it's easy to say like, hey, can we get maybe 45 minutes of your time over Zoom versus, hey, can you meet us in this, you know, nondescript location, which sounds creepy in itself.
I know. So. It's brilliant. So there has been some upsides to this time, right?
Definitely.
We all got to figure out the silver lining. And I think we have. So I'm probably carry on like this. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I think it's fantastic. Yeah.
So we have one final question for you. And you know, we ask this of everyone that we interview, and it kind of puts them on the spot a little bit, but we'll give you a little time to think about it if that's something that doesn't come to mind.
Yeah.
What is one thing you can tell us about your experience working on Prom Night 2 that you've never told any other interviewer, publication, podcast, at a convention, anything? And it can be a tiny little detail. It doesn't have to be like the biggest, you know, secret, but just one thing that you've never told in any interview or at a convention or on to anyone else.
Something that happened during the movie that I never told anybody.
Yeah. Any experience with the movie. Yeah.
Any experience. I'm trying to think of something good. Okay, 'cause I can think of,
like,
great.
You stole the crown for 1 hour.
Oh, I see. Anything about the movie. Well, I only remember things that weren't really pertinent to, like, the filming. Like, somebody brought me a sandwich and it meant so much to me because I was stuck in that prom dress in a classroom by myself. Oh. And I still remember somebody bringing me a sandwich. And I'm like, that meant so much to me that they brought me a sandwich, right? I was kind of pissed that I couldn't go out for lunch with everybody else. So, I mean, that's a small thing, but I don't know.
Do you know who that sandwich buyer was, or was it just like a nice?
I do. I'm years later, maybe he was a. It turned out he was a friend of the person I ended up marrying. So, you know, in the end, right? So
really,
that's
a great story.
So it wasn't Kelly the bitch.
No, it wasn't Kelly. No, so you mean
his name is Colin.
Just so I understand, so it was that Colin was a friend of, but at the time you weren't dating him.
Yeah. No, I never heard of him, right?
And
6 degrees of separation, right?
Wow.
Yeah. And then later when I moved, we moved, and then he was his friend, right? So I met him again. So yeah, you know.
Wow. And you're like, you're the guy who brought me a sandwich when I was.
You brought me a sandwich and meant so much to me because I was so upset that I couldn't go out and I was stuck in that prom dress. I know it's something small, but. To me, at the time, I felt like, you know, that I just remember we had a nice chat. I was in the classroom by myself. Like, you know, when you're in the classroom by yourself, you feel like you're being punished.
Yeah.
So you go back to your school days, right? You're like, here I am in this classroom by myself. Everybody's out having a nice lunch. And I was feeling sorry for myself, right? Being, you know, like I had
detention,
right?
It's so sad that they went out without you and they left you in the
I know. Because, you know, lunch is a big part of, like, when you're shooting, right? That's when you talk with everybody, and right? So,
oh wow,
anyway, small thing.
Do you have the streaming service Peacock?
I've heard of it.
Oh well, Hello Mary Lou Prom Night 2's on there. You can watch it all day.
Yeah, you can as many times as you want.
Somebody told me that it's on there. That's cool.
I feel like it's on other. There's so many,
like, Shutter
services.
I mean, they trade.
Could you tell them to send us some residuals then?
Right.
That would be really good. Because after all this time, it would be nice to get some money out of it. So, yes, that would be super
they
cool.
Like, they don't. Oh.
No residuals. Well, you know, it was that before they, like, I know a lot of actors back then, like, weren't able to sign contracts to get those types
of money. What they did was they sold it.
Oh, okay.
They sold it. So they're no longer indebted to the people that, right, at that time. They sold it to MGM.
So none of us making any money.
Yeah.
I think you should get money every time someone dresses up as you for Halloween. Right. Like,
or where's your t-shirt around town?
I don't own anything about Mary Lou, right? They own Mary Lou. I probably couldn't even have her on a Facebook page or anything, right? Mary Lou belongs to them.
But you'll always be Mary Lou.
Yeah, but you'll always be Mary
Thank
Lou.
You. That's sweet. Thanks a lot. And I really love that you dressed up at her. It's just so great. Makes me feel really good.
I saw my t-shirt and I was like, how cool is this? I should be perfect. This for Halloween.
And it's true because
I've
known Tim for over a decade and he constantly talks about this movie. So, like, this wasn't just God, we're going to interview Lisa. Now I'm going to dress up as her. No, this has probably been years and years in the making.
I mean, this is such a highlight of my year. So thank you so much.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks a lot. You guys are great. So thank you for inviting me. I knew you'd be fun to talk to.
Of course. We're so thankful. We're so grateful, Lisa. Seriously.
Well,
like,
I wish you all the best. With your podcast. I think it'll do great.
Well, thank you so much. Seriously, we're really appreciative of your time today.
Yeah, thanks for your time. You guys, I wish you all the best.
Okay, we'll take care.
Have a great Sunday.
Happy New Year.
Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Happy Horror Time.
This podcast is hosted by Tim Murdoch and myself, Matt Emmert. It's co-produced and edited by Jacob Randall, and we're now supported by Spreaker Prime.
We release episodes every Sunday and switch off between reviewing new horror movies and interviewing horror stars and insiders from iconic films.
You can stream all of our episodes directly from our website, which is happyhorrortime.com, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And remember, our reviews do contain spoilers, which is why we try and let listeners know the movies that we're going to review in advance on our social media pages.
And speaking of social media, make sure to follow our pages on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Happy Horror Time. We even started putting some of our interviews up on the YouTube. You can find us by searching for Happy Horror Time.
If you'd like to support the podcast, please sign up to be a patron at patreon.com/happyhorrortime. That's Patreon, that's spelled P-A-T-R-E-O-N. Patrons get access to our growing library of monthly bonus episodes.
It's huge!
Which means hours and hours of more Happy Horror Time excitement! Our bonus episodes usually involve us discussing horror films that fall under like a fun theme or a popular franchise. Trust me, you're going to love them.
And if you'd like to contact us, send an email at happyhorrortime@gmail.com. We love hearing from our listeners.
I'm Matt Emmert.
And I'm Tim Murdoch.
And we hope you have a happy horror time.